Blog Talk Radio.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion
from L.A.
flow.
To Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Billionaire, the trillionaire.
peculiar way. It is said that the eagle builds a nest in a kind of a huge fashion to fit her own anatomy and that of her young. But basically, the nest is rather
This is the $1 trillion flow tonight, and I want to tell you, St. Michael Feast Day is coming up, Mary. I will be in Detroit for St. Michael Feast Day. I want all you to know I'll be in Detroit for St. Michael Feast Day, and I'll be down at Eastern Market on his feast day, and that's on the 29th of this month. We're doing St. Michael Feast Day. So I want you all to call me, get ready, because I got something special I'm bringing. I just got in some Bumblebee Love Oil. It's on fire. And I'm going to give that St. Michael oil out with that Bumblebee Love Oil. I know you don't need it, but, you know, some of you got it. But I just got the Bumblebee Love Oil. Good God Almighty. Just one shot of that. I'm working on that now. But I will be in Detroit, the Motor City, the city of David. I will be there on the 29th. That's 9/29. I will be in the Motor City. And let everybody know I'm coming blessing and moving curses and bringing financial blessings. I'm calling the spirit of Musa, Master Musa with me as I come. That's the 29th. This month, the 29th. I think it's Wednesday. I get to find out what day it is. I think it's on the 29th. It's Wednesday, I think. I ain't sure. But the spirit just told me to say the 29th, Michael Feast Day. I'm going to be having Michael Feast Day starting Sunday all the week up till I go to Detroit. So if you want to get the blessing of St. Michael Feast Day, I'm fixing the package up as I speak for St. Michael Feast Day. I'm getting it together, and I want you to be a part of it. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. And if you need it, I got it. And God, it's something special I'm giving on St. Michael Feast Day. So you need to get what I got for St. Michael Feast Day. I got Dr. Ben here. Dr. Ben talking about Christianity. And I think y'all need to hear about that. You know, we've been praying that the Haitians get help. And we was talking about it. We were talking about what happened with the Haitians. You know, it's a shame when white folks treat you that way. The ancestors already told us that was going on. So that ain't nothing new. That ain't nothing new. So that's something already going on. We're on top of it. I see big money for you. Yes, you. I see some big money coming your way. This is a $1 trillion flow. I say. And I want to invoke the spirit of Musa, Master Musa. I don't know where my bell at, but I want to bring his spirit, okay? I don't know where my bell at, but I... Yes, bringing a little finance for you. I see right now, doors open up for you financially. I say I'm ancestors. And that's a good thing, working in your behalf. But it's good for things to work in your behalf.
Stand up for a woman that tells you, run a lot of things down at you, make you feel guilty, make you go into mental institutions for the things that God gives you to do. But the Africans didn't bring this. Along the Nile, when the Africans established the worship of Goddess Hathor, the first known deity, long before they worshipped the Tar, that was the first known male deity. The first known female deity and they call it seed. But the indigenous African for the first time call it W-A-A-T. There on the ceilings of the tomb, you see the body of this woman, this African woman, with stars and moons and everything symbolizing the outer space, the heavens. And one side, her head comes down, and on the other side, the legs come down. And then you see the god, Jesus, G-E-B, yes, on kneeling on one knee and holding her, listen to this, at the two columns of heaven. One hand on the vagina and the other on her breast, the two columns of heaven. That's where heaven was, and that's where heaven still is.
Just remember.
Donner and Mabuse understood Christianity. They took up arms to defend themselves as Jesus took up his stick and whipped them in the synagogue.
All right.
This European Jesus that you teach up in the wall, see, ain't nobody from this part of the world coming here with the synagogue. That's one aspect that instead you could be moderate. But then again, there are some people with special interests, and their interests may not be necessarily your interest. There was a thing that said that those who call Lord, 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 Father, but then Simon Peter, you will be the first time. I don't know all the days of my name, but who will be crazy? That was, I hope that would be a little warning. But all along the Nile here, when Abraham was born, what came in here? And they meant what? They meant cities. They meant an educational system here called the country system. They meant medical practice, science, law, engineering. There is no Greece yet. There is no Rome. There is no Europe in history. When these Africans under Sosthenes III changed the flow of this river this way to stop the inundation period. And now you're talking about you're afraid of mathematics and science that black people don't do well. In mathematical science, it's only when we sing it. But even that we don't do anymore. We don't sing. The African spirituals, which would be named medieval spirituals. We sing songs from Wales and Scotland. One of the songs that gets me so damn sick is the other day I went in the church and hear black people singing, "Make me whiter than snow, oh Lord! I'm washed in the blood." God, it is a sad thing for black people to think that they were washed in red blood, black as they are, and then become white as snow. Sickness, everything. And you see nothing wrong with singing that song. And singing it loud, very loud, to the top of your voice. And then you got an aria. The big song for the day. Sisters going there, belting out. Black people sitting down can't find a single song by a single black person to sing. Wedding going on. Your most precious daughter is coming down the aisle with a most precious young man. And you can't find a song by a black person to sing at a black wedding, a black community, with a black minister, a black congregation. What's wrong with you? But you may have people telling you, come on. Then we got to go back. When the Africans came, wrote the negative confession, C-O-N-F-E-S-S-I-O-N-X. By the way, they were revived in 4100 B.C. I have not killed man nor woman. I have not made life worship. I have not spoken ill of my mother or my father. Sounds familiar to you? I think you call them the Ten Commandments. And you found them in the book of Exodus. There was no Exodus yet. When the Africans go in the tomb of Ramesses III, and you will see them, all of them on the left hand side if you go on that. But other kids, look in, they may be here. But Elizabeth may have one. Look in the rear section of the book of the coming forth by day and by night, which they call the book of the Ten. And you sit there in a section called Osirian Drama. O-S-I-R-I-A-N Drama. The honor of God Osiris. And you see where Moses got the Ten Commandments. Not from Mount Sinai, Mount of Harris. He got it from here, where he went to school. He got 42, not 10. Moses the African. Was born here in the city of Sukkot, your Bible says. How in the world, if you were born right here in Columbia, South Carolina,
again. Too many deficits and whatnot. You deal with this. You deal with your own heritage. You forget that the present Pope in Rome went back to Poland to worship at the feet. This is his own word. And it's found it must be good because white man said it. He said, I am going back to what? Worship at the feet of the black Madonna and child. Where is the black Madonna and child? There she is sitting in the audience. There she is. Any black woman out there with a child is a black Madonna. But no, how could it be a black Madonna when you beat her like a drunk? You walk up and you lose up with a baby child. When you get a dollar, as soon as you could throw a basketball knee high for a grasshopper and run across the airport at first with a suitcase and call yourself a partial woman, you can't find her no more. When you garage behind the trees and in the backyards and in the alleys, she's a good black Madonna, but as soon as you get a buck or a name and you hit the numbers, then you can't get her. Because you want somebody commensurate with your dignity, Archibald Ross. But I ask any one of you mothers out there, what is it about the story of Mary and Jesus that you didn't have with your child?
Didn't Mary deliver her child with pain?
And you say that God cursed Eve.
And the curse was she had to bear pain when she gave birth.
What was the sin?
She ate of the forbidden fruit.
Have pain when she gave birth to Jesus according to your story? What sin she committed?
She was the mother of God.
The Roman Catholic says, Holy Mary, Mother of God, blessed are the fruit of thy womb.
Jesus.
But let us go farther then. If we are going to take that, what you're saying, didn't Mary breastfeed her child? Of course, you don't do that no more. It may mess up your shape. Your man knows that you don't mess up your shape. He got big jawbone, you live inside that cripple, and that mess up your, but the man don't mess it up. Contradicting values. Didn't Mary clean her little boy when he messed himself? One time at the university, the other day, I was speaking to a young lady who was ultra religious. And I said, well, Jesus messed himself, his mother was a shit. Stop! I said, what happened? She said, Jesus never messed himself. I said, well, when he came out of Mary, he knew how to change his own diaper. And even in order to change the diaper, someone must have helped. Did he know to put on his clothes the day he was born and go his diapers and go to the bathroom and defecate? She said, well, Jesus didn't do such thing. I said, well, you said Jesus was drinking some wine at the wedding, right? He drank water, he had a supper, and all that. Then he must have gone to the bathroom. There were no bathroom in the day, it's the outhouse. And if there were no outhouse, he'd be in the yard or something. But they couldn't see Jesus. As soon as he said Jesus, oh, some black folks get all jacked up. Can't think no more. Can't reason. That's why anybody can do what they want to you because they could, as soon as they said God, they could pull the wool over your eyes and do you in. If somebody takes 10%, if you give 10%, they're not wrong, but demand something for your 10%.
Amen.
You don't want somebody to read a book for 10%. Take 1% of the first 10% and buy a book and read it.
Mentality.
Hands on mind.
History have to be told, and we must tell it And Dr. Ben is telling the real truth that happened to us. And that's what we so far behind in what we're doing.
Haiti and Santo Domingo,
how many churches said when the Haitians were dying and the people here in Florida?
How many ministers?
But we're going to the Koreans and the Vietnamese. Not realizing that the first place they brought you.
The boat did not come straight from our here.
Neither there. We were in.
We were in.
Hispaniola. We were in Iberian Peninsula from 711.
711 AD to 1485 before we lost power. We had built the University
of Salamanca in Spain. We created the first educational system. It's there. After we lost the 2,000 of us in the area, to the island of Hispaniola. 1550 was not until 1619 or 20 that the first one of us came from Barbados. To Virginia. And we came as professionals. Architects, engineers, lawyers, and doctors, and so forth. I do not know. In closing. What is it you feel sad about?
But a history is just behind you.
How could you be sad?
I know.
Sad. You didn't know it.
And I've just touched the first line of the first sentence of a billion sentences.
To talk about you. To talk about how great you are.
You say, well, it's a great outcome and that's it.
God knows how it had nothing to do with Christianity.
They said that the Africans became Christians. It's been a very reason. Oh, what a shame we did not. Let me tell you, it is never too late.
The man who mistreated knew what he was doing. Why should we now say, well, after all, he's the child of God? Isn't it strange that when somebody dies, all of a sudden they become good? Beat a woman all day of his life, kick her, starve her, and when he dies, she's dead.
Oh, I'm so glad you killed him. I wish I had a man. The minister said, what
to say? Well, after all, God's child.
Don't you beat your bad child?
Or have you got more modern? That you let the child knock the hell out of you and don't want to hurt his ego. Not my children. My children, not just beating, whipping.
And the ego is damaged because I wanted to have it. I beat them to hurt the ego.
Hey, everybody. This is Brother Calvin. In a peculiar way, it is said that the eagle builds a nest in a kind of a huge fashion to fit her own anatomy and that of her young. But basically, the nest is rather crude and rough. But then as that nest graduates toward a finish, it is said that the material becomes finer and finer and finally soft and downy.
So proudly passed down from generation to generation, was fragile by nature, and fell victim to European expansion. Today, these records fall but to be feared. yet many clues to Africa's history remain buried under the ground, or are still alive in the survival cultures and traditions of Africa. These clues bear testimony to civilized and innovative societies in Africa long before Europeans set sails to explore the world. This story is a quest to uncover a great era in South Africa's history, one that is 1,000 years old, but is known only to very few. 1,000 years ago in Southern Africa, at the confluence of the Shashi and Limpopo rivers, flourished the great African kingdom. Its power extended far beyond the natural boundaries of these rivers, and its people occupied the hundreds of sandstone hills that rise from this ancient floodplain. Tucked away in the valley, on a well-concealed hill, lie the ruins of Southern Africa's very first city, Mapungubwe. Mapungubwe may well not be the name its inhabitants used 1,000 years ago. In Sesotho, Mapungubwe means place of the jackal, and in Tshivenda, it means place of stone. Today, the remains of this ancient city lie on the farm of Kriyasma, named by the first white settlers who came to the area before the turn of the century. In 1933, a group of desperate farmers discovered the riches that had been buried there almost 1,000 years before. And since then, Mapungubwe Hill has been dug, studied, dated, tested, and retested. By the end of the 20th century, Mapungubwe had come to share the farm with South African defense force. Today, this building houses South Africa's most valuable cultural artifacts, collected at Mapungubwe. These artifacts, unknown to the public, have been stored here for more than 60 years. At Mapungubwe, 800 years ago, the people buried their last king. His body lay in a hut for 9 months, while a new leader was elected. Here, for the first time in the history of Southern Africa, a king or sacred leader ruled over his subjects and in turn was venerated by them. For centuries after, these royal graves rested on top of the hill.
I just believe that
the
Lord
will Changes occurred that were ultimately responsible for the emergence of a new society at Shoda.
Rise.
Before the birth of Christ. And that is a laden with bees, moths, and glaze, pottery, Arabian, Persian, Indian quarter during their winter months, catching them on the wind, swept them southwest towards the African coast. Once goods had been bartered and exchanged, now laden with gold, ivory, and animal skin, could make their return trip when the monsoon winds changed direction. This trade on the coast was the main ingredient that contributed to the rise of modern conquest in the 1200s.
Anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people lived here. This guy controlled an area of roughly the same size as Zulu Kingdom. That would have been about 30,000 square kilometers. This is the largest known settlement anywhere in southern Africa at the time, and for the very first time, the chief was up on top of the hill, and the ordinary guy is down below.
But by the 10th century, the Arabs were Swahili traders had exhausted the natural resources available in the vicinity of Walwala. They were forced to look to the interior for new trade opportunities.
Became larger and larger, spread out from close to the side of the hill here out towards the river, covering at its maximum about 56 hectares, and an estimated 500 to 700 people were living
here. Here, at the first cattle-based settlement in the valley, began the process of societal transformation that will culminate in the Cold War. Rhoda, named after Harman Chandan, situated a few kilometers northeast of Mapungubwe, and like Mapungubwe, overlooks the Limpopo River. Today, many people still measure wealth and patience in terms of ownership of cattle, and as a tradition, bright rival of water and figs of cattle. For centuries past, celebrations, ritual, and trade took place in the cattle kraal. The cattle kraal was the center of the community and the burial place for high-ranking members of society. And then, Shoda, beads were introduced, adding a new currency with which to barter and trade.
These beads came in as a result of the local people starting to trade artifacts and other goods with the people that were coming in from the East Coast, the Arab-Islamic trade.
Shoda became a significant source of ivory. Merchants who had to satisfy the great market in India and China. Today, Schroeder's status is verified by the more glass pieces found there than at all the other Iron Age sites in southern Africa put together. The next phase in the evolution of the Mapungubwe culture began at a site called in about the year 1000 AD, when a new group of people, attracted by trade and other opportunities, moved in and conquered the area. They sent the people of Shoda fleeing to the west, blocking them off from the east coast trade. The new conquerors settled at Cape Two, just 1 kilometer southwest of Mapungubwe.
Boom, boom, they cut off the trade to all these other people. They start manufacturing their own glass beads. There's a little thing called a garden roller. It's made up of something like 30 other little beads that were crushed, melted into a mold, and made into a bigger thing. Now, those things were made in cages. Bones are there. Blanks are there. So there's no doubt that they made them. Maybe they were worried about the value of the beads. So many beads were coming in. They wanted to make sure that it maintained their value. They were able to store up wealth themselves. And it's that generation of wealth by that that made the impetus to development that happened. Things you can see. What you want to do is not let everybody have it. It's the unequal distribution, right? It's the royals who want to keep this stuff. And so they make their price right so high that only other royals can afford it. No commoners can afford it. So they're keeping the wealth all locked up to the upper class.
At K2, the more trade activities increased dramatically, and gold began to play a more important role in the economy, attracting more people to the area. With this new source of prosperity, Congo will no longer be a determining factor of wealth. You will physically and symbolically move to the periphery of society. The capital allows you to make way for the new law and trade code. But with the commoners and the new elite living side by side, the situation in the small valley became less than ideal. Society's intrinsic value had evolved, requiring a complete separation between the leader and his subject. So the royal elite at K2 made a conscious decision to move Mamabungu Wehe, which was better suited to their needs.
Me.
What did thine only son endure before I drew my breath? What did thine only son endure? Sing that for me tonight. That's what I've been doing all these years. I want to read to you from the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 11th and 12th verses. You are familiar by this time with the subject, but I want to just read for you the actual text. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The eagle stirs her nest. A lot of people have come to me telling me, calling me about the subject. Some of them said the eagle stirs his nest. One said the buzzard stirs his nest. Another one said you preaching on the chicken stirring his nest. So I've heard all kinds of things concerning this subject, but according to the rendering in the Bible, it is the eagle stirs her nest.
Yes, yes, sir.
You see. Now, may I just, by introduction, say that this particular passage that I have chosen comes out of that part of the Bible which we call the Pentateuch,
yes, sir,
or more commonly called the books of the law.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. This part of the Bible, according to lay people, was written as events took place. But it wasn't written like that. It was written time after time and tract after tract. And some of it was preserved and some of it was lost. And it did not come into a whole or a synthesis until the Babylonian exile. It was then that
the priests and the Levites, who found themselves in the throes of a dilemma, in a crisis. I see Mrs. Ollie B. Patterson over there, my daughter Irma's mother-in-law. They found themselves in trouble. And it's a funny thing that most people don't think too much about God or themselves or their destiny until they get in trouble.
Yes.
So when they were carried off to Babylon by the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar and enslaved, they did a very unique thing. They did not do what most of the people in this part of the world did. Usually people in that part of the world, in the Euphrates Valley or in the Mediterranean area, when their gods fell, or when they were conquered by other people, they forsook their gods because they considered that their gods had fallen.
Yes. Yes.
But the Jews or the Hebrews did a very unique thing. When their nation fell, they didn't put it on their God. They said, we are responsible. It's our backsliding way, our sin, that have brought this calamity upon us. And what we need to do is to re-examine the law and the prophets and reinterpret them